chapter 17 of the book of Judges. Let's say it together. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. There you go. Now you know where it's at. Amen. Stand when you find it to the 17th chapter of the book of Judges in reverence to reading the Word of God today, not to me, but to the Word. Let's read chapter 17, verse 1. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursedest and speakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son, to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother. And his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had an house of gods, and made an ephod and a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You can be seated. Our blessed Father, as we call upon your name, I pray you'd undergird us with the Spirit and the power of God and the Word of God. And may we deliver our soul unto this people. May the hearts of your people cry out, Lord, for that which they need. And may, Lord, the hearts of these people that are in sin, maybe if there's something in their heart that's not right, may they cry out for restoration and repentance, and God, that they might receive today the touch of God upon their heart. And I pray if there's one in our midst today that's lost without the Lord Jesus and headed to a devil's hell, God, I pray you'd save them for Christ's sake. Convict them of their sin. And then, Lord, I pray today that the power of the resurrected Christ has already been demonstrated here this morning, continues to be demonstrated in the preaching, in the power of the Holy Ghost, in the message. And we'll give you the glory and the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want to bring a thought here out of the 17th chapter of the book of Judges for a moment. And I want to also say that the whole entire book of Judges basically is on this format. If you'll turn back into the book of Judges chapter 2, I'll give you the format that the entire book of Judges is in. And we'll see this so that you understand it. And I do not believe today that this nation that we're living in is much different than it was then. They did that which was right in their own eyes. In America, I'm living in a country that's doing that which is right in their own eyes. But you can do what's right in your eyes and it be wrong in God's eyes. Brother, that's where we're living this morning. In Judges chapter 2, and I want to read over in the verse number 11. And the Bible said, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Now, number one, what happens to people when a nation begins to fall, and when you get people, and in the whole entire book of Judges, you find number one, sin enters in. And when sin begins to take domination in their heart, and they begin to be ruled by sin, and the things of their own body and own soul, and that which they desire, then you have a problem. And then the second thing that happens is there becomes some suffering. In chapter number 2 in verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Ladies and gentlemen, as I approach this message this morning, I realize that America has come to that place. She's just about come to the place that she's in bondage. She's in bondage to everything and under the sun just about it. And we have allowed ourselves to get there because somewhere down the road we have forsaken God and forgotten God, and we begin to live our way and do our thing and do that which is right in our own eyes. And therefore the second thing after sin comes suffering. And I believe we're going to face some of that in days ahead. You can count on it. We're getting at the place today, I believe, right at the coming of the Son of God. But I want to say at the same time that we're going to face some things as we travel this journey a few more days, brother. I believe that we're going to face some things we never faced before. I've already done that, haven't you? But I'm going to tell you, we're going to face some more, and it's going to take the hand of God. But I believe God's in the midst of seeing this, because simply we have turned our back on God. America's done that. She has not only forsaken or forgotten God, she has forsaken God and walked away from the Word of God. So we find the third thing that happens is that when that happens, when the suffering comes, people begin to pray. That's exactly what they did in the book of Judges. First there was sin, then there was suffering, and then there was some supplication or praying. They begin to pray and seek the face of God and begin to look out for some help and some hope. And guess what? God intervened. I'm glad that 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still in the book. If my people which are called my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And he said, then I hear from heaven. He said, I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. And I still believe that's in the Word of God today. Amen. And I want to tell you today, what happens is they begin to cry out to God. I believe more of God's people now are crying out to God than I've seen in days past. And I believe they're going to be praying more and more as the troubles come and trials come. It's going to drive God's people to their knees. And as they pray, God's going to hear their cry. And then the fourth thing God done in the book of Judges through there is He sent them a deliverer. He sent them a judge, and that judge came and got them out of the mess they were in and helped out things. But guess what happened when that took place? They went right back to where they were before. And the last chapter of the book of Judges, if you want to turn over there, what is chapter 25, chapter 24, whatever it is, and the last chapter of the book, and the last verse tells us that they did that which was right in their own eyes. And that's how the book of Judges ends up. Amen. That's right, isn't it? Alright, we notice the Word of God this morning. I want us to look at this book and see some things out of the 17th chapter of the book of Judges. We're living in a day, and I want to say this before I get started any further. We're living in a day when there's no common book. Amen, no common book. And the Bible has become an ordinary book. Amen, it's become more like a novel than the Word of God. That's what people have done with it. You go down to the bookstore and look at it, and they got football players' pictures on them. And most of them, I hadn't seen them try to decorate a King James Bible. It's hard to decorate one of them. Amen. Well, it's beautiful anyhow. Amen. But this old perverted stuff, like the NIVs and all them, they've got to put football players and some kind of hero on it. And got to entice the young people. Amen. You got to entice somebody to pick up trash. Somebody said, but preacher, it still contains the Word of God. Yeah, there's a lot of good food in the garbage can too, but I can't tell where it ends and where it stops. That's right, I can get me a meal out of the trash can over at McDonald's, but I don't know which one of them hamburgers, if somebody didn't eat all of it, or what part of it's good and what part of it's bad. And I'm scared of it, so I leave it all alone. There's no common book in this day. There's not only no common book, but people can't seem to get the common thoughts about the same book. Amen? There used to be a time when you didn't have to worry about the Bible. Amen. I'd get up and preach about the Bible. And I said, the Bible says, service after service, sermon after sermon. I'd say, the Bible says, and now they want to say, which one? That's right. They want to know which one. There's not but one. There's not but one. Amen. I believe there used to be a time when there was more unity on the Bibles. I told this morning in the Sunday school or somewhere in the service. We was coming up the road this morning. Me and my wife listened to a preacher on the radio every Sunday morning when we come into church. And I've always liked him. He sounds good. And I said, I'm hollering, sick him and get at it, boy. Tell it like it is. And I like that. You know, stir me up before I get to church. And I was driving up the road. And he said, he's talking about what the Bible said. And he read a verse of Scripture. And my wife looked over me and said, well, at least one thing, he's King James. And that next word out of his mouth said, if you've got an NIV or a King James, a new King James, this is what it reads. And that's about right. He put them in about the same category. A new King James and an NIV, put them in the same trash can. That's where they belong. Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, I didn't come to hear all that." Well, I didn't come to give it to you, but God said to. Amen. So there used to be unity about the Bibles. There used to be a unity about the people that they believed the same thing out of the same Bibles. There used to be a unity about preachers preaching out of the same Bible. And if we come back to the days it was then, you hear a message here, somebody says, "I don't like what the preacher says." So he gets in his car, he drives down the road, and he sits down, and that preacher preaches something else, and they say, "Oh, I like this. It's kind of smooth things." We're into a day that people want smooth things. Smooth things will put you to sleep. Amen. God said, "Cry aloud. Amen. Spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their sins." God said, "Preach the word." What he said, do, didn't he? Yes, sirree. And guess what? People don't want that. But you know what? If you came in to sit down and I preached something and you didn't like it and you got up and went down the road and that preacher got up and preached the same thing and you didn't like it and you went down the road and you got off down yonder and he got up and preached the same thing and you didn't like it and you went somewhere else and he preached the same thing, you would finally recognize it must be something wrong with you. Amen. Amen. That's kind of like some of these people today. We're hearing this all the time. I heard on the news the other day that there's more homes today that are raised with step-parents, more children raised with step-parents now than they are full-blooded parents. That means the divorce rate is mighty high, and that means that there's more now that's living in divided homes and broken homes than they are in the original home. And I heard a woman say the other day she'd been married four times. And she wasn't married then, and I thought, there must be something wrong with a woman being married four times. My wife and I was in a place, and I'm saying the same thing about a man. Amen, by the way. I'm not picking on you. If you've been married more than one or two times, three, I'm going to tell you, if you've been married more than one time, better start checking up, see what's wrong. There could be a real problem. Might not always be on your side. And my wife and I was in a place of business yesterday, and my wife said, I mean, it's right here in this county. In a place of business, she looked, she said, "You know," said, "me and him been married 40, come October, 44 years. And then some woman went by and she said, "Whoo, that's a long time to live with one man." I started to say, "Not if you get a good one." Amen. But I thought, I better not ring that bell. I better not ring that bell. I didn't know what my wife might think about that. Amen. But my wife said, "But he's still my sweetheart and still my best friend." And that woman looked and said, she couldn't figure it out. But I want to tell you something. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in that time and a day when everything's going wrong. And what's happened to us? And I want to talk about it in the 17th chapter of Judges, what I believe has happened and why we're at that kind of place in life. Why is our homes all split up? Why are they all torn apart? There's not a person in this building what don't have somebody in your family that has got a split home. None of us are exempt. We're all, in some degree, some form, shape, or fashion, had gone through that one way or another. Amen. Now, why does it happen? Because somewhere we dropped the ball. I understand some things, and somebody said, my husband beat me. Well, why don't you, when he goes to sleep, get your frying pan out. Amen. And take care of business. And just see me trying to beat my wife. Amen. I'd outrun her still, but I know when she catches me asleep. Amen. And I want you to, what? She's amening that too. Be careful. I want to tell you. There's some problems. We look at this thing. See, there ought to be some unity among the people of God. There used to be some unity on the pews. Did you know you can go to the churches? And there's not hardly anybody believes the same anymore in the church. Got all different ideas, and where in the world are they getting that philosophy? Not from the Bible. It speaks clearly and speaks loud and speaks the same thing. It don't mean one thing to me and a different thing to you. It's the same Bible. So let's believe it. Let's just accept it. And then there's a different standard today from church to the yard. From the pew to the outside. Amen. I remember when people went to the house of God, heard the Word of God, believed the Word of God, accepted the Word of God, took the Word of God, went out and lived the Word of God. Now they come to the house of God, put on their halo, sit down and shout, raise their Bible, wave it a few times, and go out and live like the devil on Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. And then they'll get that halo and come back to the house of God on Sunday. Now that junk don't work. Amen. We're at that time. We're living there today. Now there's chaos and confusion about everything. And it's because there's no common book. There's no common belief. And then there's no common bounds or bonds that you and I are bound by the Word of God. We decide that, hey, we can live our own life like we want to live it. That's not what God said. Hey, I want you to know in the Word of God, God expects you to live like He teaches you in the Word of God. You said, if you don't know, you don't know. That's right. That's ignorance. You can plead ignorance. But I got news for you. Some of you can't plead ignorance. You've heard it before. And you've read it before. Somebody else has told you before. So you can't plead ignorance. And so when you go out, you've got to abide by the Word of God or you're sinning against the Lord. You can't slice it no other way. Now get quiet on me now. Because I can preach whether you amen me or not. I can do it. I've tried it a few. I'd preach on the pew. I'd jump down there and holler, amen, preacher, preach on. And get up here and preach in whether you do it or not. So don't bother me. But it does help. It does help. I can preach without an amen, but I prefer not to. Now let's go a little further. Let's look in Judges chapter 17. I don't want to show you why I believe we got the mess. In verse number 2, he said, and he said unto his mother, who did? Micah, in verse number 1. The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursedest and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. Here is this mother's son has stolen her 1,100 shekels of silver. And she has mortally, if you just want to get down in plain English, mortally pitched a fit about it. She's been cursing around and saying things and, amen, come on, let's just look at plain, simple English. How many of you mothers this morning, somebody stole 1,100 shekels of your silver? I don't know how much money that amounts to, but I don't believe you'd look it over and say, well, easy come, easy go. Amen. If you don't believe it, fellas, take a $20 bill out of your wife's pocketbook and see what happens to you.
Amen.
Now this boy got 1,100 shekels of silver out of her possession. She's upset about it. Guess what? He was a sweet little boy as far as she's concerned. Now I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, some of y'all have raised some little angels that turned out to be devils. And some of you are raising little angels that will be devils. Amen. That's right. I pastored churches for a long time, and I want you to know, and it ought to be this way, that every mother thinks their children are the sweetest things on earth, and if you don't, you're a pretty sorry mother. But I wouldn't put anything past them. Amen. You may think they're sweet and adorable, but they can be some mighty mean little brats every once in a while. And when they get grown, you may think they're going to turn out right. And they may not. So I want to give you something out of the Word of God that I believe this morning that you ought to anchor yourself into and make sure that you get what's right. You only got one shot at your children. And when they're grown, you can do like I do now. I wish I had done this. I wish I had said that. Parents, you're saying to your kids, I want you to do this. You're telling them to do what you want them to do and not what you're doing. And then when you get grown, or when they get grown, they're going to look back and they're going to be doing what you're doing. Amen. Regardless what you say. Amen. I'm getting into thought here in just a minute. Here this fellow stole 1,100 shekels of silver. She's been looking for it. She's been cursing the ones she thought took it. And guess what? Her little son, Micah, comes up and said, Mother, I'm the one that took it. Here it is. I'm going to give it back to you. Now, when you read with me in that verse what she did, can you read with me? Can you read with me in verse number 2? Down the last three lines or so of that, it said, I took it. You see that in that verse? Then it said, and his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. Now, I just see me stealing some money from my daddy, and my daddy said, blessed, son. That blessed turned to blistering. Now, what are you getting at, preacher? I'm getting at the reason he was what he was and the reason he stood is because he'd been raised like that. Amen. You know why some of our young boys today and young girls today just don't seem to pay no attention to things of God? Because we've allowed them not to pay any attention to it, because they've watched us down the road when we haven't paid no attention to it. They've followed in our footsteps, and if it wasn't good enough for mama and it wasn't good enough for daddy, it ain't good enough for me either. Now, this may get just down a little bit close to where you live, but you done backed your wagon up, and I intend to give you a load. Don't want you to go home empty. A rattling wagon, brother, ain't what I want you to leave with. You said that's going to rough the fur the wrong way, preacher. Turn the cat around. Get him turned around, and you rub him right. Now, looking in the Word here, she said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. Now, she looked like and sounded like a very godly lady. She looks like a very godly mother. And I don't know where his daddy was. But in verse number 3, and when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son. And we'll stop right there. She looked like a godly woman. She had that 1,100 shekels and said, I was going to give it to the Lord. That was the Lord's money. That sounded pretty good, don't it? Mama sounds like she knows what she's talking about. Well, I've seen some of these families, and daddies are the same way. Brother, they can, down at the house while mama's washing dishes, and she breaks a dish and she says something she ought not to say. Maybe she gets upset and lets out a little word she ought not to let out. Or maybe she does some little, pitches some kind of little tantrum and dances 3 or 4 times on the floor. Daddies, you do it too. Start pouting and whining and moaning and groaning. And little Junior and little Sally's sitting over there looking at it. And you, yesterday you was at the house of God and you was waving your hand and said, hallelujah, glory to God, praise His name. And today you're doing something different. And then you tell them, look, I give this money unto the Lord. You know what you're doing? You're painting a bad picture. Amen. Don't paint bad pictures to your children. Let them see what you are, but make sure you're what God wants you to be. And when you do, you say, well, everybody gets mad and up and say, that's right, but you do. They ain't hardly, I guess, if truth is known, is one ain't hardly a mama or a daddy, either one, hadn't pitched some kind of little tantrum, amen. I know those amens were a little quieter, so some of you know better, and you know, but you don't want to admit it. Got too much pride. Got some things in there that you, in your home as a daddy, as a mother, you've done in front of your children that they should not have seen, and you wish you hadn't have seen, but they've seen it. And you've done some things that do you wish they had not seen you do, but you got caught up with, they know you. But listen, what you do, then you get down on your knees, you ask God to help you, and you try to tell them and show them that man fails. And you can still get up and go, don't hide it. Don't cover it. Well, Mama said, that's the money I was going to give the Lord. And here's what I give the money for. Now, guess what she done? She said, to make a graven image and a molten image. She'd already, remember, breaking 2 of the 10 commandments, 2 of them. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Amen. Number 1 and number 2 commandments she has taught her son now to do. I've taken this $1,100, $1,100 shekels of silver, I'm going to give it to you. You go take that 1,100 shekels of silver, and I've given it to you to make a graven image and a graven image to whoever you want. And not only an image, but a graven image and a molten image. You know what a molten image is? When they melt it and come out. And people want gods before them. Now she has stepped over the line. Mama and Daddy, I want to tell you something. If you want your kids to live right when you get them out of the house and they fly off like a bird out of the nest, and they live their own life, you better live a life in front of them. It ain't what you tell them, it's what you do. You live a life in front of them. Hear me? You live a life in front of them. You teach them that this is the way you do it. It's better to show a man, a boy or a girl, how to live than it is to tell them. That's right now, ain't it? So that mama wasn't showing him too well. She was just telling him. I want to know this morning. Didn't your mom and daddy teach you well in the areas of your life? Don't you appreciate it? I appreciate parents who live a life in front of their kids. I've experienced this a lot of times in my life. I had a family in one of the churches I pastored. And the young man, young boy, come to church and got saved. He come to the church and got saved. And then he kept coming to church a few times, and then he'd leave off some of the services, and he'd just come when he pleased. I believe the boy got saved. You talk to him, he always talked about the Lord. Everybody that was around him, he had a different conversation, had a different attitude about him. And I honestly believe he got saved, but he just somehow didn't come to church. And I got to looking at it, I thought, why in the world is somebody that says they're saved never enter the house of God? It bothers me. Or just makes it an occasional thing. I've been in church ever since I was about 10 years old. I don't know anything but church. I get sick. I get sicker if I stay at home. And I feel bad when I can't even get there sometimes because of weather. I like to be at church. There's just something about it. Just like a drawing magnet pulls me to the house of God. Yes, that's because you're the preacher. I've been, when I wasn't the preacher, but I had to compel him to go to the house of God. Now, health-wise, I understand some of that, but I'll tell you something. I seen this boy, he didn't come very often. And I talked to him, he'd come a little more and get out. And I sat down and said, Lord, why? And here's why the boy didn't come to church. He was absolutely just raised not to go. His mom and daddy, his mama finally got saved and started going regular. She's as regular as she could be at that same church. But his daddy did not go to church. Wasn't raised to go to church. Didn't raise his kids to go to church. Now, if you don't raise your kids to go to church, you're not going to have kids that go to church when you get out of this walk. Well, one day his daddy came in and got saved. When his daddy came in and got saved, he started coming to church a little bit. And guess what he done? Started staying at church. I mean, staying home. And he'd just come here once in a while. And his parents didn't raise him to go to church either. You said, well, maybe he wasn't saved. Maybe may not have been. I ain't his judge. I don't know. But I took his word for it. But I want to tell you something. If you want to see your kids go to church when you're gone and off the scene and following your footsteps after you go, you're going to have to raise them from the cradle to sit on the pews of the church. I don't care if they scream and holler and whine and moan and groan. I ain't never seen a kid I couldn't preach over yet. Get to making too big a temper tantrum. I'll come back where they are and I'll entertain them for a minute and calm them down. Amen. My wife called me this week. She had one of the granddaughters, had the little granddaughter. She said, she's crying. I can't do nothing but. I said, bring her up here. Brought her up here. We got her tamed in a few minutes, didn't we? Hey, I'll tame them for you. Amen. After they see me jump around, whine, and cry a little bit like they do, they'll understand what's going on. You'll see how silly it is. I won't tell you. Got to get them in the house of God. Somebody said, when? Just as soon as they're able to come out of the hospital and get up here. Amen. They're more able than mama. Bring them on. Teach them. And then when you raise them, when they haven't done nothing but eat, sleep, and live the church, It'll never get out of their heart. I got three kids. All three of them going to church thinking I always went. Sometimes they've left, but you know what they've done? They come back. Why? Something was instilled on the inside. So I teach them to go to church. Amen. I don't think they'd know what to do if they wouldn't go to church. They'd feel like a useless individual on Sunday. I don't understand why people enjoy not going to the house of God. This is a highlight of our day. This is the best day of the week. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't hardly feel that way. You need the altar. This ought to be your best day. Best day. Well, let's look at this. Hurriedly, I'm about done. Don't hold you long. But I want you to get enough. In Judges 17, we're going down now to verse number 4. He gave the money back to his mother, but then she turned around and found the founder, and he made a molten image, and a graven image, and they're in the house of Micah there, it said in verse number 4. And then in verse 5, and the man Micah had a house of gods and made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Now he stepped over the word of God right there. That sounds good to make him a priest. Well, of course, I found out in this modern day that some of mamas make them some of their family members preachers. There's a lot of preachers in the pulpit that mama called and daddy sent. Or daddy called mama sent. We need some God called preachers. We need to come back to some God called preachers. We need to find some men that has got the call of God on them and know God called them. We got too many picking up and taking off the profession of preaching because they think they're going to make money. Boy, if you're going to be a Bible preacher, it ain't a money-making establishment. They get mad at you, they'll starve you to death. Try to. God will take care of you. That's right. I've been in I don't know how many churches and sometimes they didn't like what the preacher preached. They just kind of held back their money. They will starve him out. They tried. Look at me. How many meals do you think I missed in the last 24 hours? I'm not bragging about that. Amen. I've had too many meals. I'm grateful unto God for every mouthful. But I want to tell you this. As I look in the Word of God, here's a boy that was not trained to live right because people were doing that which is right in their own eyes. And didn't think the things of God's all that important, and now they've made him a graven image. And the next thing he does is he picks up one of his sons and makes him a priest. No, he's wrong. Priest only came from the Levite tribe. Had to come from one tribe, and he picked up his son and done it. Brother, you can't just put anybody in the ministry and the work of God. It's got to be what God puts in. You deviate from that and you get in trouble. And then you see in verse number 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And I could go on and go on and go on with this. But we need to teach our kids today by living in front of them. You need to teach those people you're working with every day on the job what a Christian is by being one. Not telling them that you are and cussing like a sailor and doing dirty deals and telling dirty jokes. Amen. Don't go under a pretense. Don't be a hypocrite with it. You either are or you ain't. You're either a child of God or not a child of God. You're either a Christian or an unbeliever. Or you're bringing reproach upon the Son of God. And I don't want that. Hear me now. You better make sure this morning that you're right with God. If you want to help anybody in life, you're going to have to make sure first you're right. You go to some of the churches and the preacher said, now listen, we ought to do this, we ought to live for God, we ought not to sin. And he never tells them what those sins are. He never names a few of them because he knows if he does, he'd get in trouble. They'll label him. It'll make people mad. But he ought to tell it. He gets up and said, you ought to live right, and then you catch him out in the wrong place on Monday and Tuesday. Finding telling some old dirty tale out there on Wednesday. Won't pay his bills on Thursday. Making eyes at the women on Friday. And then get up on Sunday and say, better live right. And then on Tuesday, don't even put on enough clothes to wad a shotgun. How about it? Tuesday, lie to you. Wednesday, not pay you no attention. Thursday, catch them in the wrong place. Then put his halo on Sunday. You don't want that. That's a bad example. As a mother, as a daddy, you don't want to do that. You got to live right every day of the week for God. As an employee or an employer, you need to live right. Amen. They did that which is right in their own eyes. That's not acceptable with God. I could preach on, I'm just now getting to thinking about some deep things, but we'll let that go. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You may be in this building today lost. May God help you to see the truth. You may be out of the will of God. I appreciate you coming. But maybe God spoke to you in some manner, some form, some shape, some fashion. And we're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. And if God has spoke to you, I want you to come and bow on the altar and ask the Lord to touch you. Ask God to do a work in your heart that needs to be done. Only the Lord can do it for you. $365 in your songbook. Get your book now, let's sing. 365. God has spoke to your heart, would you come? He's speaking now, would you come? I want to be an example. Living for God is a 365 day a year thing. It's a 24/7. It's not just when you want to, because you probably won't want to. It's not just when you feel like you ought to, because you ought to all the time.